It's an honor to open the second session of the Dale Corson Symposium, a symposium called to honor the significant contributions of Dale and Nellie Corson to Cornell and to the world at large. Dale is, I think, a good example of what Robert Bolt made popular many years ago. Dale is a man for all seasons, a person who, as your program tells you, not only developed radar and helped develop a great research university here at Cornell, but preserved that university in one of its most controversial times. One of the things that Dale has had an interest in, although interest is not the right word, passion, I think, is the right word, is only mentioned at the end of his biography in the program, and that is his love of photography. He is a very fine photographer. In fact, he has had his work exhibited next to professional photographers in New York City and elsewhere. Several weeks ago, Dale wrote a letter about how he became interested in photography. I'm going to take a minute to read this because I think it's very revealing about the man and also about how he developed this particular interest. In my time at the University of Kansas, I had worked on a National Youth Administration project for 30 cents an hour, the most money I had ever earned. And my project was to be one that the university chose to publicize at the end of the year. A newspaper photographer came to take my picture with a camera that had no shutter. He simply took the cover off the lens, waved it around for a time, and replaced it. I remember the photographer saying, quote, "When you know how long to leave the cover off the shutter, you are a professional," unquote. Years later, when Nellie and I arrived at Lawrence, which was incidentally the evening in which Dale received its highest alumni award, the local paper had a front page story dominated about that particular photographer who had become a famous sports photographer. There was a photograph covering the score at a football game in which the score was Kansas 0, Nebraska 0. It was the fourth quarter, the clock was down to zero, and somehow that photographer showed a football squarely between the uprights in the goalposts, a Nebraska field goal winning the game 3-0, unquote. Resembling that photographer, Dale, I think, has shown an exquisite sense of timing in his career. He's shown extraordinary professionalism. He's shown a talent for being at exactly the right place, whether it's in World War II, or at Cornell in the 50s, 60s, or 70s, or forming international scientific links in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. He's had incredible involvement in timing, and he has done it all with a style and an elegance that is economical, and that is the envy of all of us who have known him over the years. One of the seasons of Dale's life, in fact, it's been an extraordinarily long and productive season, has been the development, as we heard this morning, of a research university. That is what we are going to continue the discussion about this afternoon. We have four speakers this afternoon. There will not be, because of the four speakers, a discussion period, although I'm sure that there will be time tomorrow morning to bring up some of these points that will be raised in the lectures today. The four speakers are identified in the program, and I'm not going to repeat their biographies here. I do want to say one thing about Dr. Charlotte Koo. That is that she has had a wide range of experience, as her biography indicates. She has taught at Stanford and Harvard. She has worked at AT&T. She literally transformed some of the most important processes at the Educational Testing Service. And she is now, as your program tells you, the Executive Director, Office of Scientific and Engineering Personnel in the National Research Council. Dr. Koo will speak on the subject, Graduate Education in Research Universities, A Look in the Future. Dr. Koo.